Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, October 28th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, and then Psalm 149. And then we'll read from Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, beginning with Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. I love when my study in scripture lines up with a Bible study that I'm doing or a Sunday school lesson or a sermon that Dr. Dortch preaches. And today, in this passage, we hear prophecy from Isaiah 53, and in one of my growth groups, we are going through a book that is teaching us how to study God's Word, and one of the days this week teaches about Christ in all of Scripture, that there are promises about Him and prophecies, and in this passage in Isaiah 53, where it says, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb before the shearers is silent. He did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." Isaiah is prophesying about the Messiah who is to come. Two confirming images come to mind for me for how Christ fulfills this prophecy. There are many, but one is the idea of Jesus when he is before Pilate and when he is before the Sanhedrin and they are pelleting him with questions. And what does Jesus do? He stands silent. He does not have to defend himself. God will vindicate him. And also the idea that John calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is a title that John the Baptist gives Jesus in John, the Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 29. He was a lamb. He was the Lamb of God that was led to slaughter for our sins. He was struck down, it says further in Isaiah 53 verse 8, because of my people's rebellion. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He suffered these things so that we might be able to enter into his glory. Okay, that is exciting. I love as we read the scripture, we are making connections between prophecies and now their fulfillment in Christ. But we must move on to Psalm 149. We are making our way to the end of the Psalms. Remember, I told you this is a grouping of praise Psalms. So we hear praise the Lord again and again. And what a good reminder as the Psalter ends that this is the point of our life, that we are to praise God, the King eternal. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord. Let's now move over to the book of Ezra. Today we're reading Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. As we're reading today, I want you to know that this is the first story of opposition in the Ezra-Nehemiah book. And there's a conflict because some people come to Zerubbabel who had lived in the land and they say, hey, we want to help you. But Zerubbabel, for whatever reason, whether these people are enemies or he thinks the people who are coming aren't genuine, or perhaps they come with their own ideas of what the temple should look like. For whatever reason, Zerubbabel does not want help. And this is a conflict for us as we read the scripture, because remember, the prophets had envisioned that all tribes and all peoples one day would come together to worship the God of Israel when the kingdom came, when the fulfillment of God's kingdom was to come. And so when Zerubbabel says, no, you can't help us, this is just one indication that the fullness of God's kingdom has not come yet. Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. When the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the heads of the families and said, let us help you build because, like you, we seek your God and have been sacrificing to him since the time of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the rest of the heads of the families of Israel answered, you have no part with us in building the temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us. Then the peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They hired counselors to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. At the beginning of the reign of Xerxes, they lodged an accusation against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Bishlam, Midradath, Tabeel, and the rest of his associates wrote a letter to Artaxerxes. The letter was written in Aramaic script and in the Aramaic language. Rehum, the commanding officer, and Shimshai, the secretary, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king as follows. Rehum the commanding officer and Shimshai the secretary, together with the rest of their associates, the judges and officials over the men from Tripolis, Persia, Erech, and Babylon, the Elamites of Susa, and the other people whom the great and honorable Ashurbanipal deported and settled in the city of Samaria and elsewhere in Trans-Euphrates. This is a copy of the letter they sent him to King Artaxerxes from your servants, the men of Trans-Euphrates. The king should know that the Jews who came up to us from you have gone to Jerusalem and are rebuilding that rebellious and wicked city. They are restoring the walls and repairing the foundations. Furthermore, the king should know that if this city is built and its walls are restored, no more taxes, tribute, or duty will be paid, and the royal revenues will suffer. Now, since we are under obligation to the palace, and it is not proper for us to see the king dishonored, we are sending this message to inform the king, so that a search may be made in the archives of your predecessors. In these records, you will find that this city is a rebellious city, troublesome to kings and provinces, a place of rebellion from ancient times. That is why this city was destroyed. We inform the king that if this city is built and its walls are restored, you will be left with nothing in Trans-Euphrates. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I'm thinking about this question and I just wanted to pose it to you. What is God like? We have gone down through attributes before and prayed them back to God, but I have this neat little 2-page attributes of God worksheet in front of me, and it tells me about 15 different attributes. And I just want to read a couple of them to you. Eternal, faithful, glorious, patient, righteous, true, and wise. As we pray today, I just want to think about how God is eternal. He has no beginning and no end. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Zerubbabel, who goes to rebuild the temple. He is the God of the disciples, and He is our God. And He is faithful. He holds to the promises that He gives us. And He is patient. God is long-suffering and enduring. He gives us ample opportunity to turn towards Him. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, that from everlasting to everlasting, You are. We praise You, Lord, for You are faithful. We see Your faithfulness on display in Your word. You told the exiles that they would return, and You are providing a way for them to return to the land of promise. You are glorious, Lord. You are beautiful. You are worthy of all of our praise. You are patient with us. Thank You, Lord, for not giving up on us. Thank You, Lord, for continuing to teach us what it means to be in relationship with You, even when we are like sloths and we are lazy in our efforts. Thank You, Lord, for Your righteousness, that You are blameless and upright and nothing wrong can be found in You. You are true. Everything is measured by You. By You, we can discern what is true and false, and You are wise. You have infinite knowledge. And Lord, there are things in our lives where we don't know where to turn. We don't know the next step. But we can take comfort knowing that You do and that You provide wisdom if we will ask. And so as we end our prayer, we just want to ask You for the wisdom that we need for the living of these days. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.